that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
All right, coming up, we'll tell you if the NFL got off cheap in the Colin Kaepernick settlement.
And if Russell Westbrook and the Seahawks, Westbrook Wilson, are having issues. But we start every day with a Whitlock, so what you got today, big dog?
Oh, man, I have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are doing God's work this offseason. So are Ryan Clark and Josh Harris. The ex-Steelers piling on Ben Roethlisberger are doing Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization a huge favor. Mm. They're restoring Ben's eye of the tiger. They're creating the environment and applying the pressure that will make Ben an MVP candidate in 2019. In an interview with Sports Illustrated this week, Le'Veon Bell channeled his inner Clubber Lang and basically said, he pities the fool who has to play with Big Ben. Saying, quote, the organization wants to win. Mike Tomlin wants to win. Ben wants to win. But Ben wants to win his way, and that's tough to play with. Ben won a Super Bowl, but he won when he was younger. Now he's at this stage where he tries to control everything, and the team let him get there. So if I'm mad at a player, and I'm not throwing him the ball, if I'm not throwing AB the ball, and I'm giving Juju all the shine, or Jesse James, or Vance McDonald, or whoever it is, and you know consciously you're making your other receiver mad, but you don't care. It's hard to win that way. All right, this is Clubber Lang trash talk. Remember when Clubber walked up on Rocky when they were unveiling a statue of Rocky in Philadelphia? Remember Clubber baited Rocky by talking spicy to Adrian? That's what Le'Veon Bell just did, using Juju as Adrian. Hey, Juju. Hey, Juju. Listen here. Since your old quarterback ain't got no heart, maybe you'd like to see a real quarterback. I bet you stay up late every night dreaming you had a real quarterback, don't you? I tell you what, bring your pretty little moves over here to the Jets this season, and I'll show you a real quarterback. This is awesome. This is exactly what Big Ben needs. You can't cook bacon without a fire. You can't reignite the focus and determination of a millionaire all-time great performer without an avalanche of criticism. Steelers center Marquise Pouncey is making a mistake jumping to the defense of Roethlisberger. Pouncey defended Big Ben on Instagram, writing, quote, I've been with Ben going on 10 years. I swear on my kids, he's a true leader. Sucks to see players who leave and are mad at the organization now try and point fingers like they're perfect. But this is the world we live in now. There's some truth in Pouncey's comment. Bell and Brown are the Moe and Larry of the Three Stooges. But Ben is Curly, and that can't continue if the Steelers are going to reach their full potential. The onslaught of criticism is going to knock some sense into Roethlisberger. It took a similar onslaught to get Roethlisberger to clean up his off-field behavior. Yesterday, a friend of mine who has worked with some of the best quarterbacks in football asked me if Ben's reputation has been damaged to the point that he's no longer a first-ballot Hall of Famer. The friend wondered if Ben is becoming the Terrell Owens of quarterbacks. I think that's all a major stretch, but Ben's reputation is in need of redemption, and I think he'll get it this season. I expect Roethlisberger to have the best season of his career. I pity the fools who face Big Ben this season. All right, joining the desk now, former Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion Mark Slareth. Marcellus, start with you.
Yeah.
Will the criticism bring out the best in Big Ben?
No, and I don't think it's because he's not hearing the naysayers and the critics. I just think that he played well last year. If you want to talk about him leading the league in passing yards, most career touchdowns he's had in his entire career.
A lot of interceptions.
Led the league in picks, too. But the point is, you're thinking that you're going to see more out of a two-time Super Bowl champion who's not in his prime, all of a sudden is going to hear this volume of criticism when he's been through adversity before, whether it's the off-the-field issues, some of the gripes that players had with him before, the time he won a Super Bowl as a young pup, and he didn't get proper credit for that because he was young, and then he won one, and he was the man. I think Ben Roethlisberger has always responded to adversity, but I think it's an unfair expectation to think that he's going to play better even next year at 38 after what we saw this year. This year, we just saw two brothers fighting and not understanding why Juju and Antonio are evenly matched in the eyes of Ben Roethlisberger, when it hasn't been that case, obviously, for Antonio Brown for the last 6 years. So to expect that you're going to see more out of Roethlisberger, I'll have this conversation with you next year, and I would say those numbers won't be as good as they were this year.
See, I disagree with you in – well, I agree with you and disagree with you. I disagree with you in that I think this is an important year for Ben Roethlisberger, and I agree with Jason in that I think you're going to see Ben Roethlisberger play his best football from the standpoint of being a better leader, understanding what the criticism has brought him. You're not going to play much better than Ben plays. I mean, he threw for 5,100 yards.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. How's it going to get better?
I don't know that
less
he's
picks.
With less talent.
He listen, one thing about the Steelers, there are certain organizations that do a great job of picking players and developing players in certain positions. The Steelers have been tremendous at finding linebackers and sliding them in, regardless if one guy leaves, another guy comes in and plays at a Pro Bowl level. They've done that with wide receivers as well. They have always been great at that. So I don't have an issue with them saying, hey, we're moving on from Antonio Brown. Even all that production, they'll find a way to be great. If he eliminates some of the interceptions, I just still think that Ben Roethlisberger is at the top of his game. I think he's a great player. Right. And I think if you can hone in and look at yourself critically and say, I've got to be better. I can't go on my radio show and blast guys. I've got to be better with this stuff. Then just that in and of itself helps him get back to win this division and, you know, be a playoff contender.
But my point to both of y'all is, where does the loose lips come from? It comes from the same place as the loose arm. And he said it this year. I don't care about interceptions. I'm a gunslinger. And that's his mentality as a leader. I'm a gunslinger. I'm going to go on radio and call people out. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. He needed and he needs busted in the mouth the way he's getting by Le'Veon, Antonio Brown, Ryan Clark, Josh Harris, the media and everybody else to shake him up. This gunslinger deal is over in football, man.
You know what's funny? This reminds me of the moment before we had the players-only meeting. And I think in all of the players-only meetings I've been in, maybe one has worked. The rest of them was just a big chorus and echoes. We're going to try harder. We're going to do better. Oh, come on, man. A band of brothers. And we go out there. Man, you got to execute. And those numbers don't come from just mental makeup changes. I'm going to tell you why. There's a guy who's always in the locker room. Yes, sir. No, sir. War paint. Goes out there and get his head busted. And there's a guy who's like, I'm reading the comics. I just got off Twitter. Oh, I just gave you 3 touchdowns. So Ben Roethlisberger, his mental makeup is what it is. He can change the complexion of it, but how do you really expect his numbers to inflate because he's going to change
his
demeanor?
Here's what I say about a players-only meetings. NFL, that's 53 guys.
Yeah.
And the players only mean it's about a wide array of issues and a bunch of players need to adjust. We're talking about one person.
But even in those meetings, Jason, we're only talking to a few people because only a few have impact.
But there's
we're not talking about all 53.
And now they've singled it down to one person. Ben, you're part of the problem. And your gunslinger, loose lips, inefficient play is part of the problem. In the NFL, this blew me away when he said it, that I don't care about interceptions. I'm a gunslinger. He goes out and leads the league in interceptions. His team doesn't make the playoffs. That has to stop. The Brett Favre era of the NFL is over. The top quarterbacks, if you want to be an efficient guy that can lead a team to a Super Bowl, it's 10 interceptions or less, basically.
You
have to be very efficient with the football. I think we're going to see that from Ben Roethlisberger this year. He has no choice because now if things don't go right, even more of the criticisms come in his way, and he does dirty up his reputation.
If things don't go right, though, you can say, well, you know, we lost Le'Veon Bell and we lost all our talent.
Because you ran him out.
Well, you can throw that at him, or you can say because the organization didn't pay him. Here, the organization, Kevin Colbert, their GM, said he didn't have any problem with Ben airing guys out on the radio?
His kids. Well, I mean, children.
I'm telling you what.
You think Kevin Colbert has no regrets about that statement at this point?
I should hope he does.
Yeah, right.
But how, my question to you is, until they hold him accountable, like, are you really, is it got to the point now where you look at yourself and introspectively look at yourself and say, man, I've got to be better? Does this do that for you? Because if it does, he'll be better.
Or is it just cosmetic? Because you can become a better leader and it still doesn't have the same impact on the team in terms of the numbers. When I hear the question, the criticism is going to bring out the best.
Yeah.
You're thinking, so next year we're expecting 5,200 yards, 35 touchdowns.
I don't think it's all just an evaluation of numbers. I do expect less interceptions. I do expect less calling out of teammates. I do expect better leadership from him within that locker room and being and taking on
and
that.
And what if that
lands
you in no playoffs because here comes Cleveland, Baltimore's still there.
That might
then
look,
what do we say?
They might have a bunch of injuries. Cleveland may be terrific. Who knows? Baltimore in their running game. Who knows? But do I expect better from Ben? Less blasting of teammates, fewer interceptions, more efficiency and smarter play on the field. What that looks like in terms of numbers, again, I'm on the record. I'm not going to back away from it. I think this dude's going to be in the MVP race. I think he has that kind of talent.
No. Yeah. MVP race is based on two things. Either your numbers are insane, Patrick Mahomes, or it's we're rooting for you. Drew Brees, Lifelong Achievement Award. Who is rooting for Ben Roethlisberger in the media right now?
Let me just say this.
And his numbers won't be there.
Let's say this, because it's about narrative. It's about, do you have a story that the media can buy into? Mm. If you think the media is on the side of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, you've misread the media. It's great sound, it's great content, but the media does not like these two guys.
But that's not the only side.
Okay, and so
they're not on the side of the organization if you let your two talented players go.
If Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown leave, and they went 9-6-1 last year, and they go 12-4, 13-3 this year, I don't care what Ben's numbers look like, he's going to be in the running for MVP. If they go to, and I think they're going, I think he and Tomlin have been backed into a corner. They're going to come to an understanding and agreement. They both need to achieve and do better than last year. I think it's going to happen. And Big Ben's going to get a lot of credit for that.
I agree with you. I think he can be an MVP candidate. If he, you don't have to throw 5,100 yards.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if they become more balanced, you have a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, and you win a bunch of games, that turnaround, you'll be in the conversation.
No.
I mean, you're an iconic, one of the best, one of the elite, one of the force multipliers, as Eric Mangini says, in the NFL at that position. And there's only about four of you. You know, there's Brees, there's Brady, there's Rodgers, and there's Big Ben, Russell Wilson. So five, maybe six. But that's where you're at.
Mahomes,
Pat Mahomes. Okay, six. Won it.
But you know what I'm saying. So that's what. But you're in that conversation.
Again,
you got to go. I mean, Matt Ryan won it a few years ago. His team was in the Super Bowl. We talk about Tom Brady who wins it. We know why Tom Brady.
That's what I'm saying.
Patrick Mahomes, insane numbers. I don't see the guy who's like, oh, we got into the playoffs. We didn't make a deep run. Even if we overachieved. What you're basically saying is we did better with less.
Yeah.
And I have fewer numbers, but I'm an MVP candidate. I just don't see that guy being.
Was Drew Brees not in the MVP race all last year?
Yeah, and they were rooting for him.
No, I get it. But again, his team was playing very well and thought to be the best team in football. His numbers were down. He is an older guy. There will be people, trust me. Big Ben has given us a lot of football enjoyment.
I love it. I love it.
And so I just don't think I don't think there's going to be people rooting against Big Ben. I honestly think, I really don't. I don't think the media is going to be rooting against Big Ben.
How about reluctant to give him his due? At least you got to give me that, because right now he's taking so much ire and criticism, in part because people are saying, you brought this on yourself. No one is going to look for that redemption until he actually faces it in the mirror and changes all the behaviors, and the production is still there. You said the production will suffer.
Of all the criticism that's been leveled at Big Ben, it can all be dismissed except for Ryan Clark, because most people will be like, Le'Veon's a clown, Antonio Brown's a clown, and Ben's a clown. That's Mo, Larry, and Curly. That's the Three Stooges. And so you can dismiss all that. Ryan Clark's criticism lands pretty strongly and with credibility. if Ben comes out and plays, they're going to dismiss Le'Veon and Antonio. Hey, man, those guys just, it was about some money and finger pointing. Le'Veon made a fool out of himself financially with his holdout. Antonio Brown, wait till you, Antonio Brown, in my view, will be a disaster in Oakland. He may put up some numbers, but they ain't winning nothing. And so the other guys with the Jets, they ain't winning nothing. If they win nothing, Big Ben goes 12-4, 13-3, right in the MVP race.
Wow, we forget about all the young up-and-coming stars at that position. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes already there.
Brady won last year.
The mainstays.
I mean, two years ago. Brady won.
But
that's Drew Brees was in the race this year. It's an old quarterback, experienced quarterback league.
Respect that. I respect that. At the same time, you have to factor in, if you're not going to give me the numbers, then you got to give me the intangibles. You got to give me the legendary story. Like, people all say that when they look at Ben Roethlisberger and his resume, oh, you got what you deserve. No one is sitting there saying, you know what? Oh, unfair to Ben Roethlisberger. They said that for Drew Brees, which I think gained him some rooting interest. No one is going into the season saying, where is the due for Ben Roethlisberger? And that's why
I think there's going to be some people to think the criticism's over the top.
Okay,
here's what I think. I think if they change a little bit of what they do, they get back to more Pittsburgh Steelers, like what we grew up with. Run the football, play physical, take care of the football, and you put up exceptional numbers. Like I said, 3-1 on the touchdowns. And, you know, when you do those things, your numbers can go down, but your equity can climb.
And I'm going to tell you,
that's what I think where people will look at.
With Juju at the number one, which we don't know what that looks like.
They're going to find a receiver. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the other thing that you got to have to be MVP. All eyes on you.
Yeah.
What players going into the start of the season like, damn, I can't wait to see what Big Ben does. No Le'Veon, no AB.
Especially in that division where Flacco is now gone. You're looking at Baltimore. What are they going to do? How are they going to look with Lamar Jackson? You're looking at Cleveland with all that. Like, the eyes are going to be squarely focused on that division.
Yes.
The AFC North is going to be a target point.
It's
great story. Let's move to Colin Kaepernick, who is still out of a job but received an undisclosed settlement from the NFL for his collusion case earlier this year. Some people speculated Kaepernick got as much as $80 million in the deal, but the Wall Street Journal is reporting today that both he and Eric Reed were paid less than $10 million combined to settle the grievance. So it didn't take more than $10 million to get Colin Kaepernick up off his knees and to sign an NDA and to leave the NFL alone. This doesn't surprise me. I said at the time when that Bleacher Report anonymous source reporter said that there was 60 to 80 million. That's a joke. They signed him they gave him very little money, and they offered him the opportunity, I believe, to come back into the NFL and earn a payoff the way Eric Reed got his payoff. Carolina gave him way too much money for his performance, and they offered Kaepernick the same deal, and that just hasn't worked out.
Yeah, my first reaction was, it fell into alignment of what I had thought before they settled. And I'll tell you why. When I first heard the reports of 60 and 80 million and everybody was running through the streets and popping champagne, I was like, doesn't sound right in a settlement because you got to see what the ceiling is and then you have to start to chop, because the settlement is not just we're going to take a little hit and you're going to take a little hit. It's also, we're also not going to go through this process in which we're going to spend tons of money in litigation. So when you factor all that in, someone is not going to walk out of that ceremony, that situation, and really gouge the other side. That's one in most settlements I've ever seen. Two, when I saw pictures in celebratory form of Kaepernick's side with his lawyers and everyone smiling, taking like a cheese picture, I was like, that doesn't make sense when you sign an NDA. Because when you sign an NDA and you're comfortable, and if you won $80 million, I'm not saying a word to disturb this. That will stop the money train. And then the last thing was when Nessa continued on Twitter responding to NFL news and signings, and I was like, I've never seen someone who signed an NDA continue to kind of poke the bear. Now, were we? where, oh, you bear kept, the bear finally said, y'all want to go out there and pop champagne? Let me let everyone know how much it costs. And this is just, to me, making more sense based on the behaviors of the other side in this settlement, Kaepernick and his crew.
You know, one of the things that, as we sit here, that just pops into my head is basically everybody said, well, this proves collusion could be proven at some point on the from the NFL. Like, this just proves, like, they didn't want that news out, so they threw this $80 million out there, and this just proves the fact that they were colluding against Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Now, if you, I mean, seriously,
there's no collusion, Mark.
Right, does it look like, looks to me like, it's like, we can't prove anything. And so, please just give, you know, please just settle, and we'll take whatever.
Keep the lights on.
Right.
Cap's broke.
That's what it looks like. I don't know if he's broke, but it certainly looks.
That's why Nessa's whining. They need back in the NFL. He's broke. And there's no collusion. I've said it from the beginning. The guy was offered opportunities to come back into the NFL if he was willing to earn it.
Yeah.
If he was willing to do what Eric Reid did, I'm going to go take a below market contract in Carolina, play, and then they gave me a contract that was too much. Kaepernick's price, he's priced himself out of the NFL and out of football. That's on him. He just settled because, again, there was no collusion. They have proof of teams that have reached out to him, tried to do something with him, probably got proof of offers that was made. That's why they leaked the story about him wanting $20 million in the AAF. The NFL is playing a game of chess, and Kaepernick and all of his Kaepernick supporters on Twitter are playing a game of checkers, and they're getting clowned. Someone give this young man some good advice. Nessa, pipe down. Go take a $2 or $3 million deal in the NFL and work your way back up if you're capable.
Well, I don't think he's broke in part one. He has a $5 million per deal with Nike.
Allegedly.
Okay. Well, allegedly, he just got a $10 million settlement then, and we just blow up everything. But if you got $40 million from Nike, and then you
Who
also...
Who says that? Where? I've never read that.
Google.com. Right. You gotta do your work too. So that's $40 million there. You could do the speaking tour, speaking engagements. I understand. Maybe not everyone's comfortable bringing them in.
Cuba, right. They'll bring them to Cuba.
Stop. But at the same time, I wouldn't go broke. I will say this. I thought that I hate when we say who won or lost, who's guilty, who's not. It's a settlement. The whole point of settling is we're not admitting guilt. We're just saying let's get on with our lives
when
and our
values. When
they
give you pocket change, that to me.
But now since
that's better than not guilty to me.
Since we've been reduced to this level, I thought from the beginning that Kaepernick lost. And if this is accurate, and based on his behavior and Nessa's behavior, it looks like they lost.
Yeah, this is, to me, you can't prove collusion, and here we go, let's end this so we can move on, and if you want to do the work, then do the work, but that's what it feels like. So everybody who was celebrating saying that this proves that he could have, you know, proven collusion, this to me is the opposite of that now.
I think he's probably been double-crossed by his lawyers. Again, I've always felt that he's had bad representation and people that were using him for their own benefit. And to me, it sounds like, yeah, we're going to pay your lawyer fees. We're going to make sure they've been on the clock for 2.5 years. That number was astronomical. Mm. And then they got a promise to the lawyers like, yeah, we'll let him back into the NFL. We'll offer him deals. And I think they have. But they keep balking at the cap side, keeps balking at the price.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, Colin, take a starter deal, I mean, to a $2 or $3 million to be a backup. Go to Miami, back up Fitzgerald for $3 or $4 million or
and
Fitzpatrick.
And then take his job by game.
And then
game
take
eight.
His job by yeah. game 4 or 5.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy always loses his job. Go out there and earn it and prove it. This whole thing, somebody's gonna give you something in a shakedown. They just prove what they're going to give you a little bit in a shakedown, but not lifetime security.
No, the NFL, we've all, I mean, being through the process, mm-hmm. being through the system, very few have held their hands high in victory over the NFL. I mean, obviously, there have been monumental cases in the past. Reggie White comes to mind, and Plan B and free agency. But that's for a collective. When you try to take the NFL behind closed doors and sue them, one thing we learned this, and I was a player rep for 9 years, we always talked about our war chest. And collective bargaining is not about what you want. It's what you're going to give up to get it. And what players understand, if they are invested in knowing behind the veil the business of the game, is that war chest it takes. And every year, the NFLPA is building and building a war chest just in case there is a lockout. You have to understand, you're now talking about a collective of 32 billionaires who will sit there and say, oh, you want to go to war? Let's go to war. And I think once you're faced with that as a reality, a lot of people balk in those moments.
Ultimately, the war chest that the NFLPA has is a piggy bank underneath the bed compared to what the owners have. You know, you're fighting, your millionaires fighting billionaires, and the billionaires, they're going to win that 100% of the time, and they always have.
I want to make one last point about why I don't believe he's being paid an enormous sum by Nike either. I just don't think he brings that kind of value. I don't think his
all the jersey sales selling out every time he posts something.
I don't think so.
That's
I don't think value? That's a great. I don't think it's great value. I think
stock
that's exaggerated.
Rising.
I don't think it had anything to do with Kaepernick. I think again. I think it's just like yesterday. They came out with a study, Business Insider, that said that like 70% of America believes Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player. 10% believe it's LeBron James. And so, like, there's this whole conversation that goes on over Twitter and on these shows that aren't really a reflection of America.
Yes.
And there's this whole, oh, people just love Kaepernick, and he speaks for the black cause. That's the myth circulated on these shows and on Twitter. In reality, ain't nobody thinking about Kaepernick. Ain't nobody buying Nikes because of some celebrity wore a Nike shirt. I'm supporting Colin Kaepernick and blah, blah. In the real world, everybody sees through and sees exactly what Kaepernick is. Let's move to Seattle, where Russell Wilson is entering the final year of his contract, but reportedly, there's been no dialogue between Russ and the Seahawks about an extension. Rumors have already been flying that Wilson and wife Ciara would welcome a move to the New York Giants, and it appears Seattle is going to have to back up the Brinks truck to hold on to the face of their franchise.
You don't like Ciara, huh? You don't want to go Ciara?
Huh?
Ciara.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Ciara.
It could be both.
Ciara. Anyway, listen. I think that there is a potential problem here. I initially thought no way he's going to leave Seattle. Mm-hmm. That would be foolish. But I actually think Russ wants reparations. For playing on that offensive side of the football with no offensive line, no great receivers really, no running backs, being a one-man army for years, putting up with the abuse from the defensive guys. I think Russ has a chip on his shoulder. It's like, no, no, not only are y'all going to pay me, I'm going to get some back pay. I'm going to be the $40 million man. Aaron Rodgers set the standard at 33. Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump well over it. That's what y'all owe me. I think it would be a mistake, but I think that's where his head is at mentally.
Okay, that's his thinking, and I understand that thinking, but I'm going to tell him what they're thinking. And it's a beautiful thing when you get into the NFL and get paid, because as soon as they give you that money, they in that room beating you up in terms of your resume and production and how to get some of it back. And what's going on right now is they already bet on Russell Wilson. Legion of Boom or Russell Wilson? Okay, you know what? We're going to go Russell Wilson. And they have not had the same level of success since they bet on Russell Wilson. That was an overachieving team that made the playoffs last year, and we all were like, whoa, okay, good for you guys. We didn't expect you to rebound so fast. But is that a Super Bowl contending team? They were when they had Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson. Now it's just the Russell Wilson show. He's still amazing, but the team is not the same. So what does the team start to think? If we're not going to win it with you, let's just pause on seeing how this plays out before we invest more into you when we already made that investment and not the same results. So It's a little undermining. It's a little dagger, but I think the team is also saying, let's pause and see what's going to be the results of investing in Russell.
Well, I hope they pause and then they hit fast forward, because other than Russell Wilson, I mean, that is the face of that franchise. I think they get in a situation right now with Russ where Russ ain't worried about it. I'm going to get paid. Whether I play on a franchise tag or whether I get a long-term deal, I'm getting paid. I mean, he is the face of that franchise. You're 100% right. The way teams are constructed right now, you can either invest all your money on the defensive side of the ball or all your money on the offensive side of the ball. It was all on the defensive side of the ball for a while. Now it's going to start to shift back over to the offensive side of the ball. He is one of those guys, in my mind, having done games and having talked to him, where he doesn't care. He's a rare bird in that he doesn't necessarily care about statistics or anything else. That dude wants to win.
Yeah.
I called a game where he was 4 of 6 in the first half and had like 150 yards and 3 touchdowns or something like that. Like, you only throw it 6 times? Like, he doesn't care. He wants to win. So I don't think he wants to leave. I think he's the face of Seattle. I think he'll remain the face of Seattle. I think that there's no stress there. He'll get it done, or they'll get it done together.
Oh, I think there's tension in the air, because everything in the NFL is done on purpose. You've been there before, Mark. If I've been there before. When they start to rotate another D lineman into the system, it's not by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's by purpose, and you better watch your playing time, because something's happening. When we're not discussing something and you're in your last year of your contract and you're our franchise quarterback, that's for a reason. That's for a purpose.
I think Russell Wilson, his agent, and his wife have some real issues with Seattle in terms of, this is why everybody loves to get on there and say, hey, Russell Wilson should do what Tom Brady does. Take less so he can be surrounded by X, Y, and Z. And what Russell Wilson and his agent are saying is like, you know what? If y'all bring Bill Belichick over here, I will do that. Because I totally trust Bill Belichick to put the right pieces around me. I've been here in Seattle. They put a great defense on that side of the ball, but offensive pieces around me, the pieces we need now that the Legion of Boom is gone, on both sides of, do I have that trust that if I don't get as much money as possible, what are you going to do with the money I leave on the table?
Exactly.
Is it going to be well spent? I think there's a lack of trust here, and justifiable. And again, when you throw in the whole, what y'all owe me for this beating I've been taking, and I drop back to pass and have to run around for my life because we got ex-basketball players and rugby players blocking for me? There's a lack of trust here, Mark.
Okay, well, I mean, there may be still. Here's the beauty on the NFL side. If you want to look at the NFL side, you can, I guess you can go Antonio Brown and just start eviscerating everybody until they push you out, but they have your rights, right? I mean, they own your rights. And ultimately, even if they don't negotiate a contract with you, they could go the Kirk Cousins Washington Redskins way and basically just make him play on a franchise.
Can't do that to Russell Wilson.
Why?
Because I
can do it 3 straight times, 30, 36, and $52 million.
But I just think you lose some public support in Seattle.
Definitely. Sure.
With your fan base. Russell Wilson isn't Antonio Brown. He's beloved in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Kirk Cousins. He's beloved in Seattle. He's won a Super Bowl. He's handled everything beautifully. Never give you a minute's worth of trouble.
Sure.
He's the ideal kid. That city's going to side with him if the organization doesn't treat him right. I think Russell has a lot of leverage and power if he ever decides, well, I'll just sit out.
Well, but he doesn't have ultimate power just because, what Bill Parcells say, you are what your record says you are. And if you're looking at it as a win-loss, zero-sum game, this organization can easily get into the room with you and say, we're not a better team, even though you're still an amazing player. So why give you the investment? The ROI, the return on investment, is not the same, Russell. And I think that's in part why they're not going to enter negotiations, because they both know that they're sitting there with a gripe on each side.
Here's the other part of that, why the team, for me, has more leverage. We can offer you one of those contracts that in the public eye looks like it's a huge contract. One of them fake contracts that Pittsburgh offered Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm. Kaepernick without, got one, too.
Right. And you know, we can offer it, and public opinion will like, oh my gosh, that's more money than we'll ever see. And is Russell going to come back on him and say, like, if he doesn't accept it, Will he get tarnished? Does he have to come out and say something?
I think he's got so much credibility in Seattle and across the NFL that if he, hey, this ain't a fair kind, I think people will believe it. They're not in a battle with a diva wide receiver. They're in a battle with the golden boy other than Tom Brady of football. What's the knock on Russell Wilson?
There is.
It's not Aaron Rodgers where you're like, hey, teammates don't like him, or Ben, you know, he's immature. There's no knock. The knock on Russell Wilson is he's
But they
short.
Got rid of all the teammates right. that didn't like him. So
right, there were some teammates that didn't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and they're all gone. Yeah, so we invested in you, and now what's the results? Not the same.
All right, let's move to Cleveland, where Odell Beckham Jr.'s tenure with the Browns is, not surprisingly, off to a little bit of a dramatic start. The social media icon took to Instagram yesterday with a long, rambling post that he since deleted about adjusting to his new situation, writing, among other things, quote, "I appreciate the love, honestly, but this moment, for the next couple of days, I'm gonna go dark. I really need some time to vibe and just get away, process, reevaluate some of the things in my life. As much has changed for me recently." So that's what he had to say over IG. Listen, I think he's not going to be happy in Cleveland long. I think that this he's been in New York, belle of the ball, biggest star on his team. He's now in Cleveland, the mistake by the lake. And I love Cleveland, but it is the mistake by the lake in comparison to New York. And now Baker Mayfield is the biggest star. I don't care what Odell Beckham Jr. does. They have an undersized quarterback with a huge chip on his shoulder who's exciting and fun to watch. He's must-see TV. Odell's number two, and he's in a boring city. This is going to be problematic.
One, to his post, I like the mentality. I like the action.
You did?
Yeah, one.
I'm going dark.
Yeah, I like that. I go dark without announcing. I just go dark. Y'all be like, damn, you ain't posted something in a while because I'm dark. I will say this. When someone tells you that they don't want you, and I don't care if you're Odell Beckham Jr., superstar or not, when you land at the other place and you deal with the hysteria and the excitement of there, and then you have that quiet moment. You're like, somebody just told me they didn't want me. And I'm great. I'm setting NFL records for young receivers for history. I like someone who addresses that. Says, you know what, let me tap out. Let me disconnect from it all. In terms of what you're saying, how he's not going to like Cleveland, here's the thing. There's only two things that we care about when you're talking about what city you play in. It's the nightlife and it's the weather. The weather in New York and the weather in Cleveland, damn near the same thing. It's cold. The nightlife in Cleveland is different, but guess what? You Odell Beckham Jr. You can't just go to dive bars in New York and just hang out in New York like you want to anyway. You got to be protected in your New York experience. So guess what? You can still do that in Cleveland. I played in Buffalo. You can do it. It's just going to be friends coming to you instead of you going out on the town. I think he's going to enjoy this experience just because he knows he's going somewhere to prove something.
How many catches does he get per game? How many targets does he get per game? I mean, isn't that what receivers want?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be happy?
That's 16 times a year.
Right. But, I mean.
What about the other days?
Well,
That's the Odell's problem. The other days. What do I do
with that? Well, you rent a boat in Miami and you take a trip. I mean.
Like, man, friends can fly. Let's just say that. We used to have frequent flyer miles.
I'm telling you, like, it comes down to this.
Freaknik flyer miles?
Right. That too. they can land there.
I'm just saying, if that offense explodes and they put up numbers and they're winning, man, you'll deal with wherever you happen to be. Right. I always look at the guys from New York that that came over wherever I played, guys that had played for the Giants. You know what was the thing that bothered most of them? Was the money. The ancillary money away from football.
Yep.
Because when you play in that city, dude, you show up places and they're putting stacks of cash on you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you're getting that in Cleveland. Like, it was the opportunities out there to wine and dine corporately and everything else where somebody lays, you know, a couple stacks of high society on you and says, thanks for coming to the party, and you roll out of there.
Yeah.
That's like I talked to guys that's what they missed about playing in New York.
Right. But, you know, if you're playing in Cleveland, and a surging Cleveland team, a team that really looks like they can do something, mm-hmm. all those local businesses come out. We need you here, Baker Mayfield. We need you here, OBJ. And they will pay you thousands and thousands of dollars just to be there for that hour, do the walkthrough. I get that. But as long as that Cleveland airport is open, Odell Beckham's nightlife will be fine. I think that is always exaggerated when we're talking about how
happy he is. Let's say this. Let's say this. When you're in New York, Diddy's having a party tonight. Mm. Oh, no. Next night it's Jay-Z's, got a little something going. Cardi B and them are having something. Mm. When you in Cleveland.
Bone Thugs. they dropping a new album. you better go to that.
And so, look, I liked your point, Marcellus, about, and I hadn't thought of that, about there is some rejection that just went on. Mm-hmm. And again, when you see yourself as, hey, I'm chasing Jerry Rice, and I'm chasing any of the all-time greats. Those are in their primes, right. Before third. No one ever told them, I'm rejecting you. No one's said Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, any of these guys that Odell saw himself in the same lane as, in their primes, someone said no.
And his numbers put him in those conversations. Yes. So that was a realistic thought process. And then you land. I've been there before, and you're like, wait a minute. Someone just said no to me, and now I have something to prove so that no one does this again. So I think Cleveland is going to be the perfect resting spot for him to get his game.
I think that to me is the big point. And all of us at some point in this, not in our primes, but all of us at some point have been rejected. I mean, I had the Redskins tell me, you're no good anymore. I went on to play, it's another 6 years and win a couple more Super Bowls and play in Pro Bowl. Hmm. But they told me I was no good anymore. It still stings, and I'm still pissed off about it.
Say it.
And I'm 53 years old. So, I mean, it still bothers me.
Hey,
so
4 years ago, I got fired by ESPN. Mm. That stung. Mm. And you know what? I did go dark. I didn't announce it. Right. Hell, I laid in bed and cried. Mm. But, yeah, so I get it. You made a hell of a point. I agree with you. I'm a smart deal. They'll go dark. Mark Slarich is here. Time to get antisocial. Darnell Smith, our social. I like that shirt, The War on the War on Football.
Ooh, I love that shirt.
My favorite
one. That's your face in there? Look like.
Come on now.
Another 50 cent they added to that shirt.
Come on, Marcellus.
Put Darnell in the box.
You got to crawl before you walk.
That's true. What's popping on those Twitter streets, Darnell?
Yes, sir. We're going to start off in the NFL, where 49ers wide receiver Marquise Goodwin was trending yesterday after dropping some knowledge over Twitter, writing, quote, money is no longer the root of all evil. Attention is. Do you guys agree with this?
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with it, but I like it. Mm. That's some real good originality from Marquise Goodwin. And I do think it's now a rival of money being the that is, attention is the rival, because I think people think, if I get enough attention, I'm going to get some money.
Yeah, and the irony is this tweet got a lot of likes. So it got a lot of attention.
Retweets.
First of all, I don't know who I should blame, the pastor or the congregation. The scripture is not the...
Right. Can y'all say it right? It's the love of money is the root of all evil, not money.
I get tired of people saying that. Money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of it.
Money.
Don't attention is currency, and the exchange rate, it's out of control right now. We all witness it. People just want attention, whether you're eating and you look over and someone else is having a photo shoot while they're just eating, and then if they catch you in the background, TMZ everywhere. Like, it's all just attention. So, yeah, I'm with them.
You know what I love to do when my daughter is looking at her Instagram? I love this. This is my favorite thing to do. I go, what are people you don't know and doing right now? That's my favorite thing to ask.
Yes, man.
But I'm guilty, too.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So this should say, Marquise, if you're watching, the love of money is no longer the root of all evil. The love of attention is.
Yes.
Good.
Mm. Message.
All right. Next. All right. Got something special for you today.
Uh-oh.
Check this out.
It's the meme of the day.
All right, y'all. So the Raiders signed Vontaze Burfict just days after trading for AB. The former Bengal was suspended for 3 games after knocking Brown out of the 2016 wildcard game. And their history inspired a ton of memes online. These are our top three. Number one, you got the Diddy epic stare down with Vontaze Burfict and Antonio Brown first day of practice. Number two, You got Whitlock as a kid. Now I'm just playing. Oh, and number three, you got the infamous Homer disappearing into the bushes. So which meme is your favorite?
Not the third one. We see that too often.
I love it every time I see it.
You though. Do? Oh, yeah. it's like the Jordan meme. It just recognized. I like that Whitlock boy. That little Dudley right there is pretty good. But Diddy and that who's the other dude he's staring at?
I never know his name. It's on the
voice. I go with the first one. I vote first one.
I do too. Diddy's face on that one, like the anger, man.
Intense focus.
I'm just sorry. The Homer Simpson one always works for me.
Always?
Always. I always find humor in that one, so.
Okay. Like
All right, what's next?
Yeah, moving on to the hardwood, where the internet was on fire after Tim Duggan was spotted with a new hairstyle, looking just a little different than from his playing days. Whitlock, I know you've been growing your hair out as well.
Yeah, look at
this. Is this a new look or a midlife crisis?
For me, it's a midlife crisis. For Tim, I think it's a new look.
Oh.
I don't think I'm going to go this route, though. I'm going to grow my hair out, but I'm not going to.
You think?
I'm not going to do the dread.
Ain't for sure yet.
You think? Let's just say no. Let's put that in your contract. You can't go that route. You got a red Corvette outside? You going through midlife? You about to do it?
Nah, I gave up cars, to be honest.
Oh, there it is. Man, look, you retire with eight figures. You get bored sometimes. You're just like, you know, you don't have any more games and practices. Why not play with your hair a little bit? I ain't mad at this.
I'm mad either. I think he looks better like that than he did with the bald head. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it's a good look for him.
I'm going to tell you what.
Oh,
he looks like he's in great shape.
Oh, Whit.
Whit. Whit.
Yes.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
no, that didn't happen.
Uh-uh.
Oh, boy, you be doing news.
Oh. Boy, you look like Alien from,
Predator.
Alien vs. Predator.
Reggaeton artist.
I was like a fat Cisco from,
yes. A big magnum of Cisco.
You're like a man. Y'all crying with.
He looks like he's in good shape.
Oh, he looks like he's in great shape. That's ready for a comeback. All right. What's next?
Yeah, let's move to Russia for the first ever male slapping championships. The world's strongest slappers battled it out in Siberia for a chance to win 30,000 rubles.
He got too much.
The equivalent of $470. The guy in the white clearly isn't getting paid enough. Guys, what's the least amount of money you'd accept to get slapped by a world champion?
And y'all got to be real, because there is a number. Yeah. I hate when people say no amount. There is a number. It's high as hell.
It's
but
high.
It's a number.
It would have to be a million untaxed for me. Get slapped like that. I mean,
one time, or you got to finish the contest, because it's gonna be one time if you.
Well, it's going.
there'd be. We used to play a game like that. We called it torture darts when I was in college.
Torture darts. What is that?
Well, you same kind of concept. Whoever lost the dart game got to accept the torture, and the guy who won the dart game got to deliver the torture.
You're throwing darts at him?
Well, we would sometimes it would be a dart, or sometimes it'd be a hit, like a
why you saying
iron
so
chair over.
Well, sometimes. Yeah, I mean,
we did that for free, but you know we were stupid back then.
We did play chess growing up. Y'all remember that game?
Yeah, you punch in the chest.
Punch in the chest.
Yeah, you did, but that's
different.
This here, right here, this is why I didn't ever play as a fraternity. I was never allowing anybody to paddle me.
Hell no.
What's going on?
And I ain't eat no banana.
No.
And it wasn't a banana.
But this is crazy.
No.
This is crazy. All right.
5 million minimum.
What's next?
Yeah, let's move to Carolina, where Cam Newton discussed giving up things this offseason as a challenge. Take a listen.
So we got, vegan in February, and then March, I'm giving, I hope this is an adult crowd. It looked like it is. No climax.
Woo! Oh. Shut the front door.
Straight up.
No.
I'm going through a transition right now. Like,
I'm
gone.
Well, they should at least done it in February. You got 28 days in February.
Will this challenge help get Cam back to MVP form?
This, you know what this is, to be honest? He's humble bragging.
Wow,
he didn't say I'm giving up sex. He's saying I'm giving up climax. He's bragging.
So you're just going to go through practice and no game?
That's what he's telling the ladies.
No touchdown, just run up and down the field.
He's telling the ladies, I'm in total control of this. You're not.
He down it at the one.
You got to score that touchdown, Cam.
Hell no, I ain't running nothing in the yards without a TD.
I think I'd rather participate in the Russian slap deal than what he's talking about.
For free.
We've all been there. We've all abstained before. Let's just be real.
Climax? No, he's
13 years, you know. 13 years, I did. What was yours?
Climax?
Yeah.
we gotta build this off here. 13
Stop
seconds.
Marcellus. I was just waiting for him to fall in that hole. I was like, go down that hole.
13 seconds. I'm 13 years? No dice.
I was 13.
All right. Let's get to the question of the day.
It's Darnell.
My guy.
My question of the day.
All right, guys. So you always hear people say the cliche, money doesn't buy you happiness. You all got, all three of you guys have money. So I want to ask you, is this true?
We do.
Yes, sir. Y'all do.
It's all relative.
Do we? No, you know, people say it doesn't, and because again, I certainly have been poor, and having money does help, but does it buy you happiness? No. As you get older, I think in your youth you think that it does, but then as you get older and more mature, you realize it really doesn't. You know, it helps you relax, I think, and take some stress out of your life. But I don't think it makes you happy. And then, you know what? It can also add stress, too. More money, more problems is some of the realest things ever said in rap music.
Crazy how when you don't have money, you think money is everything. And then you get it, you're like, this is it? And that's a lot, but it's still not it. You can have nice, fancy cars, big mansions, and still hear the echo of your own voice. And still no one around that you really believe in and trust. It's like, it's crazy. It just dresses it up. It's like almost like condiments to anything you put. You still gotta have the meat and potatoes in place, poor or rich. The condiments just kind of makes it a little better.
I always say that money makes you wealthy, doesn't make you rich. Makes you wealthy.
Yeah.
And I know some of the most miserable people I know have a boatload of money.
Say it.
Now, that's just the truth. So it's fleeting, man. You can't take it with you. It's but like Twitter followers,
some,
man.
I
when
know
you
some
die, you know what?
Too.
You can't take them with you.
Right. There's some broke, unhappy people, too, because I knew my family, but we were broke. And I was like, yeah, y'all not happy. It's the stress of it. It's just the stress. You can't make month-to-month plans. It's crazy. Mm.
Right. I really think, though, as we had this conversation, what makes a person happy, to be honest with you, I think is finding their purpose in life. If you're going through life without feeling like, hey, I've got a real purpose to what I'm doing. And that's why I love journalism, because I love the battle or the art of exposing the truth and educating people and changing their perspective. I felt like that was my purpose in life. And that's what I enjoy doing here on this show. And so I think having a purpose to your life, waking up every day, and again, that's what you guys get married, you have kids, and that becomes your purpose. That's what I think gives you the greatest joy.
Not to get cliche like coaches used to always say, but when it comes like that, like when you're living your life in alignment with purpose, it's easier to be happy. But I really think happiness is just like the choice. You know how people say you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? No, it's all up here. If you just, there are so many things that happen in a day that you can choose to be happy about or unhappy about.
I always say be intentional. Be intentional with what you're doing. Make sure you're intentional and be grateful. I'm intentional every morning about being grateful and thankful for what I have.
There you go. No matter what, make lemonade, huh?
Right.
No matter what comes.
Whitlock and Wally joined now by a couple of NBA champions, Matt Barnes and Dante Jones. Let's move to the NBA, where Doc Rivers' name popped up this week in speculation about who the Lakers' next coach could be. Doc did his best to shoot down the rumors. And now, according to Michael Wilbon of ESPN, people close to Doc are telling him to avoid the Lakers because, among other things, LeBron doesn't want to be coached. And now The Athletic is reporting that more stars may follow Paul George and not give LeBron and the Lakers the time of day during free agency. The question here is coaching the Lakers still a desirable job? I say yes, it's a desirable paycheck. I'm not sure if it's a desirable job.
It's not a desirable job right now. If they pop, if the Lakers win, it's bigger there than any other place, any other franchise. I give you that. But in the moment, there's not a box you could check in favor of the Lakers over the Clippers.
I like how you threw that in there.
You see how I did it? But I want to hear from y'all. I want to hear from y'all just because it wouldn't be a deterrent to me if I was Doc Rivers, but I'm not going.
I think the
I think the future looks, as we look at a 3 to 5 year span, the future looks brighter and a lot more happy on the Clippers side. But I still think it is the Lakers. You know, I think Doc would be set with the Clippers, but at the end of the day, I think I read something where, you know, it was before he retired, he wanted to try at either the Knicks or the Lakers. It's still a desirable job. It's just a mess over there right now. So maybe he can be someone to help fix it.
Yes, I think it's a desirable job. Anytime you get to coach the Knicks, the Lakers,
Celtics,
the historic franchises, they are desirable jobs.
Knicks?
I think so, because if you make it work in those cities, it's like Bob's. It's way bigger than any other city.
Right. I give you that part.
So it rings for those cities, and it weighs more.
I would just say, being the head coach of the Knicks is like being Jason Whitlock's personal trainer. That's where personal trainers go to die. Honest to goodness. So it's like, if I scale that mountain, I'm set. My brand is built. But who scales the mountain?
It's still a historical.
Some people take chances in life, and they want a challenge. They don't want to just coach. Some people want to coach for championships and want to do it at a big franchise.
Well, those are the big franchises. Still a challenge. They haven't gotten over the hump. I mean, second round.
But listen, you want me to say something about the Clippers?
I do. Something good.
I enjoyed my time playing for the Clippers. I think they have an amazing owner. They do things the right way. Doc is amazing as well. So I don't believe anything negative about the Clippers at all.
Well, I want to go back to the Lakers. I saw something incredible we're going to bring up tomorrow on the show. Somebody put together string of clips of what they said at their opening press conference and compared to what is actually happening. Right. And when you go look at that and you're looking at Pelinka and Magic, you're not. That doesn't make you confident. That's not Jerry West and Steve Ballmer, or Jerry West and Doc Rivers sitting there, or Jerry. You know, it's Magic and Pelinka. Yeah. The stuff they said at the beginning of the season, and compared to now, it looks.
How about LeBron in terms of his relationship with the Lakers? Remember the Blaze Pizza incident in the tweet, and he never showed up. He didn't have an intro press conference. He didn't go to the preseason party. He didn't go to the Christmas party. People starting to add all this stuff up and like, dog, do you even like your team or your organization? It's getting gangster over there.
It's rough, but I think people fail to remember that it takes time to do anything. You know, Rob and Magic are both new, maybe 2 years into the spot for Magic, but it's just a new situation. And then when you build a team, the chemistry takes more than a season, especially when you add new pieces and a bunch of injuries. So, I mean, this season has been a wash. I think they should be graded, you know, starting this summer and next season, but it's a real mess over there, and I like people are saying with the Paul George piece, and he chose not to. It'll be interesting to see. Would you rather go to the Lakers or would you rather go to the Clippers? I mean, if I'm a big time free agent and I'm looking at the situation right now, I would probably choose the Clippers.
Let's move to Oklahoma City, where the Thunder lost to the Raptors last night in overtime, despite 42 points, 11 boards, and 6 assists out of Russell Westbrook. OKC has now lost 4 straight, and while the Thunder were actually the 3 seed at the All-Star break, they've lost 10 of their last 15 and fallen all the way to number 8. This could turn into an embarrassing season for Russell Westbrook and the Thunder if somehow they get the 8 seed and get swept by Golden State. They were the 4 seed last year. That would be a major step back.
Yeah, and Billy Donovan would take all of that hell, and he would probably be gone. He got reset this year when they brought in Paul George. Like, oh, let's give him one more year, because they were talking bad about him as a coach last year. They just look like a second-round exit team. I think it's still going to be
first round.
Ooh, could be that based on seeding. I think it was Houston and obviously Golden State, and then you look at Portland in there. But I never thought OKC would really do it, and they're showing their colors.
I think with OKC, with Russell, it's less is more. He's so talented, but I think they made great strides this year when he decided to be Robin instead of Batman. You know, Paul George proved what he can do when he's a go-to guy. He's a go-to player. And I think Russ kind of struggles sometimes between I have Batman talent, but they want me to be Robin. But I don't think it's as drastic as we want it to seem. I mean, they're still 7 games back. So they're in the 8th spot because of tiebreakers and stuff, but they're still tied for 6th, basically. So, I mean, that eighth spot is death. But if they could slide into that 7th spot or the 5th spot, that's the only chance I see them making the second round.
Matchups are always going to be key in these playoffs, regardless of the East or Western Conference. But Paul George has done such a great job at scoring for them that if anything happens to him, he goes down to get injured. Or last night when he fouled out, they rely so much on him to make plays and to score buckets. And it's going to be his show if they go any farther in the playoffs right now, because Russ is doing a good job of taking that second seat. But when it's time for him to go to the first seat, it just doesn't work as well. They defended a high level, even in overtime last night. They defended well. They just couldn't get a bucket.
And they don't have any shooting or depth.
What's, honest to goodness, Russ's priority, winning or numbers?
Winning.
I think it's winning. If you watch the game last night, winning plays. He's defensive rebound. He's offensive rebound. He's bringing energy.
He's shooting too much, though.
Yeah. But they say his shot attempts are up, what, 7 or 8 shot attempts since All-Star break. He was shooting around 14 shots, and now he's up in the low 20s. And like I said, I just think that's Russ kind of being Russ. And sometimes less is more for Russ. You got a great co-pilot now. You know, let him be Batman. You continue to be Robin. And that's when they were at their best earlier in the season, when people were really, you know, scared of them.
It got disrupted, though, when Paul George got hurt. The shoulder, the numbers are still trying to recover back to what they were pre-injury. Right. So maybe Westbrook just said, let me go back to my old ways until you come back fully.
What part of Russ's game is being aggressive. Like, he has to put pressure on you on a nightly basis and make the right play. But teams, I think, now are taking Paul George out of the most plays and making that be the Russ show. And he has to make adjustments and try and score more now, because teams are keying on Paul, because Paul's been so hot before the All-Star break. So I think it's just changes in defense.
Y'all remember Dominique Wilkins?
Yes.
Great show. Never was a winner. True story. That's played hard, highlight show, but not a winner. Uncle Jimmy's here. What are your thoughts so far on the show?
Oh, my.
What do you got, Hammer?
First of all, I need y'all to tell everybody how happy y'all to have me here today.
Just
tell everybody how happy y'all to have me. Let's get down to business. First thing first, all right?
Yep.
Let's get this award to the big dummy of the day.
Ooh.
All right? And the big dummy of the day is to whoever run around here acting like your hairline didn't just show up 2 weeks ago when Katino Mobley showed up. Trying to act like that's a real hairline.
I like it, though.
All right, that's the big dummy of the day.
Lean. Don't let him
clock out. Let's sit down, too.
You got a problem with my hair, man?
No.
He can't talk. Look at that.
Yeah.
The hell?
All right. Here's a highlight from earlier in this show about Ben Roethlisberger. I have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are doing God's work this offseason. They're restoring Ben's Eye of the Tiger.
This reminds me of the moment before we had the players-only meeting. And I think in all of the players-only meetings I've been in, maybe one has worked. Man, you gotta execute.
There you go.
Yes.
Big Ben and the Steelers. I think Big Ben's gonna be great this year. I think he's not gonna miss AB. Or Le'Veon Bell. But anyway, what's your take?
Let me tell y'all something. Let me be honest with you. I can speak on this. This whole Big Ben Steelers situation remind me of the breakup of New Edition.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. What's up?
I'm glad to see you coming around, Beefy. We're going to start calling this one the Uncle Jimmy Log, all right?
What you got, big dog? What's up?
All right, that dude. I got Le'Veon Bell.
All right.
As Bobby Brown.
Uh-huh.
Now, I need somebody to tell me that Le'Veon wouldn't love the smoking one with Bobby and Whitney. You know, he be talking about, they say I'm crazy, and I really don't give a damn, because it's my prerogative. And I'll be cruel.
Uncle Jimmy, don't be cruel. I feel you.
I see what you did there, though.
Yeah, buddy.
But, you know, for real, listen to me. I see what you did there.
Mm.
Uncle Jimmy's just humping around. As I slipped that in.
Hey, could you get back to your analogy, man? Who is Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown?
Listen to me. AB, that's Mr. Sensitive. That's Mr. Antonio Brown. You know, he talks, you know, that Mr. Sensitivity. That's Ralph Tresvant. He's talking about, Ben, I know you've been sad. Since I went away, I made you so sad. You cry every day.
Yeah,
I'm a man with sensitivity and a blonde mustache.
Oh my God! If you don't cool it down,
okay, Jimmy. Damn, Mark, listen, don't look past.
Yeah, I see you a little bit.
How about this one?
All right, what you got?
Juju is Ricky Bell.
Mm.
Okay, you know, Ricky was the one that was underrated the whole time New Edition was together. He was just the dude with the big lips and the jerry curl. You know, and this year he told Big Ben straight up, hey, Ben, you can
Do me, baby. Right. Do me, baby.
When we gonna see Big Ben smile again?
Smile again.
Bro, I'm so proud of you right now. look here, peep game. I'm rude.
Okay, man, look, Big Ben got the most talent of everybody. Yeah. That's Johnny Gill. You know, when Big Ben throw the ball, what we say? My. Huh? But there's a problem. People don't like him too much. Mm. You know why? Well. He get in the huddle, get to singing. Huh? Get talking about, do you feel the power in my arm when I throw? Because I rub my teammates the wrong way. Bottom line, bada bing, bada boom.
Look here, AB, Le'Veon Bell, y'all gonna miss New Edition a hell of a lot more than Big Ben will. Mm. Ah, nights like this, I wish. Ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. What you got, big dog?
I am out.
What you got, big dog?
You killed me.
That was pretty good, both of y'all.
Man, he over there hitting notes, too, for
real. Rub you the wrong way.
I kind of like that. All right, let me get to my Ben Roethlisberger approval rating. Basically stays the same, 13 job performance. Yeah. I drop him a point all-time greatness. He's got all his teammates talking trash on him. Mm. Drop him a point in character, teammates talking trash on him. I raise him a point in authenticity. That's me saying I think he's going to handle this well and be great next season. 49 for Big Ben.
Ooh, kind of low that. Well, look, nothing's changed on the field, so I keep him the same. All the hits he's taking from teammates, there's some smoke there, so there must be a little fire. And I still haven't heard the, hey, we had our differences, but respect to AB, he was a tremendous guy to work with, player, blah, blah, blah. Give me the Hallmark moment. I ain't seen it yet. Come on, baby.